Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part four of a seven-part Lenten series entitled From Ash, and today's message is specifically entitled Our Turn, based off of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Let us dive into the Word today. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors, making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Amen. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Romans chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. These words were Paul's own reflection on his own struggle with sin. In his heart, he wanted to follow God's law, but because of his sinful nature, he was a slave to sin. Friends, this is not just a revelation about Paul, but a revelation about all of us. Speaking for myself, I was called to ministry at a very young age. I was raised in a household with very strong Christians of strong faith, and so I grew up in a culture of faith. My mom, especially, had a really strong faith. My dad has a faith. A strong faith as well, and he always supported my mom in terms of if she wanted to leave family Bible studies, he would be a part of that. When we went to church, he was there. So I grew up in a culture of faith, and I had experienced. I was called to ministry at a very young age because of that. I came to recognize my calling very young. I had experienced the healing power of Christ. So on top of being raised in a culture of faith, I had also experienced the healing power of Christ in my life. I had experienced Christ's powerful presence with me from a very young age. When I was 3 years old, I think both three and four, but one of those times I was in the hospital. With a viral infection in my bloodstream. Now that is a very deadly thing. Having a viral infection in your bloodstream can kill you and does kill people. And as such, I was hospitalized and ended up unresponsive, practically in a vegetative state. The doctors, after a while of my being in the hospital, the doctors told my mom and dad that there was nothing else they could do. Like, they were at wit's end as to what to do, and all they could do is keep the medicines and the fluids flowing through me via IV, and just hope for the best. Hope that it works out. But there was nothing else further than what they had done that they could do for me. And one week, my mom my mom was at Wits End, and my great grandmother, and I believe this is the way it happened. My great grandmother had contacted the pastor of the church that my mom and dad attended, and she had explained to them the situation, taking care of things for my mom, and had asked them to pray for me during church that Sunday. And sure enough, that Sunday, they all prayed in church for me. And that very hour on that Sunday, I sat up and kept telling the nurses and all of the people that came into the room, and when I was being wheeled around in a wheelchair to kind of get me out of the room since I had been there for so long, I kept telling everybody, Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me at 3 years old. And at 3 and 4 years old, I would use my mom's 8-track tape tower as a pulpit and preach to my parents that God taught us to love one another. Now, my mom always tells it that I said, God says love one another, because, I was a toddler. I couldn't really pronunciate as well as I do today. And I also told my parents that Jesus would want us to forgive the people who knocked down our snowman. Again, that age period of 3 to 4, I was not the healthiest kid, and I was sick, and my mom went outside and built a snowman right out the window so I could look at it, to make me happy since I couldn't be outside playing in the snow. And kids, being kids, came by and they knocked it down. That's what kids do. They see a snowman, they're mischievous, they do things they shouldn't do. My mom was so upset because she had worked, to put that snowman up to keep me happy, to make me happy, to brighten my spirits, so to speak. And these kids come and just senselessly knock it down. And I told my mom, it's okay, Mom. God would want us to forgive them, and you can always build another snowman. So my mom did build another snowman. And actually, the kids came after that and tried to knock it down again, and they couldn't kick the thing down. That snowman stayed up the entire rest of the winter and just melted straight down, like it would in the movies. I mean, it was just crazy how that happened. So I had experienced the presence and the power of God at a very early age, and those are the snowman especially is a simple thing, but being in the hospital and nearly dying, it's another thing altogether. And in elementary school, when I was being bullied and kids were threateningly walking toward me on the playground, I pointed at them and shouted, "In the name of Jesus, leave me alone!" Because I didn't know what else to do. I was about to possibly get beaten up, I was possibly going to get beat up, and that wasn't an uncommon thing through elementary school. And they laughed at me for saying that, for sure. But I was at Wits End, and I didn't know what else to say or do, and I just instantly drew from my faith. My mom had told me you can rebuke things in the name of Jesus, and if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, you go, throw yourself into the ocean, and it'll be done. And so from the innocence of a child, I just pointed at them and said, in the name of Jesus, leave me alone. Now, they laughed at me, but they also backed off and let me alone. They left me alone. I had such a profound faith in Christ, and there are many more such stories that I have. Yet as a teenager, I suffered from depression. I had a lack of self-esteem. Certainly the years in elementary school of being picked on and bullied and beat up And I didn't always get beat up. So I did fight back a couple times, and you know, but whether I won the fight or not, you know, like I think standing up for myself at least limited the amount of times I was being beat up. But I was bullied quite fiercely throughout high school, called things I wouldn't even utter here on this podcast. And so that accumulated over time, and I suffered from depression. Not to mention I had been in a traumatic accident in between eighth grade and freshman year. I got hit by a pickup truck and put my head through the windshield and hit my head on the road, and I'm sure that didn't help with anything. So I suffered from depression, a lack of self-esteem, or depression, I mean, a lack of self-esteem, and a bitterness toward the church that I felt didn't even care to understand me. As I was going through all of these changes, as I, you know, especially toward 17, 18 years old, I started smoking, started doing things I shouldn't do, started getting tattoos and ear piercings, and I felt like the church was judging me. I mean, I still at that point, especially 16 to the beginning of 17 years old, I still at that point had faith in Jesus and in God, but I felt like the church was judging me. And so when other influences came into my life, I left Christ behind. I turned away from Christ. Sure, I would have told you that my problem wasn't with Christ himself, but with Christians. But in reality, Christ was no longer Lord of my life. Rather, just a misunderstood human being, like I felt I was. And I turned to worldly explanations of the divine. And I tried to take my own salvation and the power of positive change into my own hands. That's ultimately what I did. I mean, there's a longer, more complex story behind it, but ultimately I turned away from Christ. I turned to worldly explanations of the divine. I tried to take my own salvation and the power of positive change into my own hands. And, you know, friends, I wouldn't change a single thing of that looking back, because it informs who I am today, absolutely. And there are things from the various religions I studied and things from the religion I ended up choosing and to follow at the time, things that I learned, things that God taught me in that, and that absolutely are congruent with Christianity and are actually what Christianity teaches as well. So there are things that I learned from that inform me. But ultimately, looking back in hindsight, that's what I did. Friends, I ultimately failed at taking my own salvation and power of positive change into my own hands. I ultimately failed. And all I did actually in the end was dig a hole in my heart even deeper than it was, and found myself at the end of the line with nothing to hide behind. I had nothing to hide. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Have you been there? Have you been there? Have you tried to save yourself? Perhaps you're there now. Perhaps you see yourself as a good person, as someone who has earned salvation, more or less. Someone who, while you may not be perfect, you haven't done some sins like other people. You're generally good. As someone who has earned salvation, someone who does not need Jesus. Yes, such people can and do exist even in the church, and perhaps that's you if you're in the church, or perhaps that's you if you're not in the church. Today's scripture reminds us that as Christians, we are to stop evaluating things from a human point of view. That includes others, ourselves, and this world as a whole. We are to stop viewing Christ from a human perspective, treating him as if he's a great teacher, a prophet, or even some sort of distant son of God who merely came to save us from our sins and then left us to do as we will. Paul says how differently we view Christ now. He's not just some nice guy or some prophetic teacher or energy-filled miracle worker. He's not just someone to sing praises to once a week, nor is he merely a namesake. Christ is Lord and Master over us. He who commands the winds and the waves commands us as well. And in our baptism, we've become a new creation, born again, justified before God, sin removed, old life gone, new life begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. And what does that mean exactly? What does it mean to be a new creation, to be born again, to be justified before God, to have our sin removed, our old life gone, and our new life begun? What does that mean? That means it's our turn. It's our turn to propel the Jesus movement forward. It's our turn to pick up where those before us have left off. It's our turn to spread God's kingdom and fulfill our Lord's prayer. As Paul wrote, we do not belong to this world. We are, rather, ambassadors of heaven. Now, on Ash Wednesday, we were reminded of where we came from dust, from ash. At Easter, we'll be reminded where we're headed in glory. But today, friends, today, we are being challenged to rise up from ash, to embrace our turn at representing Christ before all the world. So accept God's grace. Be transformed. And open yourself up to Christ's call to be an ambassador of heaven. Amen. Friends, it's at this time that I would like to just invite you, if you're listening to this message and you have not yet accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if this is something you kind of feel called to but you're not sure how to respond, if this is something maybe you've never even considered before but now you're listening and you're wondering, what is this Christian life all about? Maybe God has a purpose for me. Maybe I've been missing the point all along. If that is you, friends, then I'd invite you to pray with me. And if you are somebody who is a Christian but have been missing the point as well, perhaps you forgot what it meant to live the blessed life, perhaps you forgot what it meant to be called by God, then I'd invite you to pray with me as well. And so, if you have yet to accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord, your Savior, and your Master, then I invite you to pray this right along with me. Gracious God, merciful God, I now know that you have been calling me from the time I exited my mother's womb. Lord, I know that you created me, that you had your purpose for me even before I entered that womb. Lord, I ask that you forgive me for all of the things that I have done, for all the times that I had missed the point. And I ask, Lord, that you fill my heart with your Holy Spirit, and that you enter into me and transform me into that new creation you promised to make me. I trust in you. I put my faith in you, and I vow to follow you with all of the ability you have given me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, if you're of the folks who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but have fallen by the wayside in your faith, have forgotten what it means to be Christian, and would like to renew your faith, then pray this along with me. Gracious God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for being my Lord and Savior, and I pray for forgiveness for falling away and not taking it as seriously as I should. Lord, I recognize in you there is grace and love and compassion and mercy, but there is also a call. And I re-acknowledge that call that you have placed on my life. Help me so to live more faithfully and to carry out the will you have for me. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And friends, I'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. And I pray that some of you who are listening prayed either one of those prayers, depending on where you are. I keep you all in my prayers. I really am thankful that you find this podcast to be meaningful and worthwhile in listening to, and I hope it has some positive impact in your life. I'd like to invite you to tune in next week for part 5 of this Lenten series from Ash. And I'd like to invite you to check out all of the links that are in your episode notes. They're all there for you to check out. I'd also like to invite you, depending on where you listen to this, whether you listen to this on Podbean or whether you listen to this on iTunes or whether you listen to this on Google Play Music or Spotify, whatever you listen to this on, rate it. Give it a rating. Review it. You know, let people know you're watching this. Not watching it, but listening to it. Let people know. The more ratings we get on iTunes, let's say, the more we are shown to other people. So ratings are absolutely vital. And if you like this podcast, then just take the 3 seconds it takes to give us a rating, and I hope you will. As always, friends, I just want to remind you that you are richly blessed, so that you may be a blessing for others. Amen. Go in peace.